This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
Okay, here we are.
Episode number 27.
The title of this episode is OMFG. I have a lot of energy today. I'm just going to go ahead and let you know that there will be lots of cuss words today because I am using my foul fucking language to get, to move some energy in my body. So those of you know, I already have a little bit of a potty mouth and I'm just going to go unfiltered. You think I've been unfiltered, but I'm realizing that I put myself in this trap of comparison. So I'm just going to let her rip today. So OMFG, stop stopping. And Jesus, I am so good at stopping myself. Are you good at stopping yourself? Do you have these things that you want to do or you want to create and you give yourself an out over and over and over and over again? I do. So a little background, I think. Let me think if that's what I want to give you, the background. I'm a recovering overachiever. So in the past, I have achieved and created out of a sense of not feeling enough, of not feeling good enough, of trying to prove myself. And as I've done a lot of spiritual work, I've really become detached from a lot of the things that I thought I want because I thought that they would make me feel valid. And I feel a mazillion gazillion times more valid now on the inside than I ever have before. Every day that increases. Of course, I certainly have little pockets here and there, but I am a pretty good solid cheese. I'm not even Swiss anymore. I'm a pretty good solid cheese when it comes to really trusting that I am worthy, I am divine, I am significant no matter how much money I make, no matter what I've created, what I don't create. I do acknowledge that a little bit of my identity is wrapped up in work, in the work that I do, in the service that I do. I don't know what that, you know, I don't have biological kids. Work for me does give me a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning. I believe that we're all here put for a reason. So I don't want to go down the rabbit trail on that. But here's the thing. So I was on a coaching session today, a class, and I was asked a question that blew my own mind. And it has sent me into a great amount of discomfort today, which I'm actually really excited about. That's why I'm saying OMFG, stop stopping, because it's giving me something else to examine. And so I'm going to share my process with you. I'm going to share my process with you, bits and pieces of it, and I'm so curious. So before we go on to that, here's what I want you to do. If you are listening to my podcast, right now, will you take a screenshot of it and either post it on Facebook or Instagram and tag me? Let's start spreading the word, okay? So I want to start playing a game. I will respond to every person that does that. If you post it and tag me on Instagram, I'm at Allison_Crow, and or on Facebook. If you will tag me on either Facebook or Instagram, I will personally respond to your tag that you are listening to this episode. I just want to, I want to get some help sharing the love. So you'll see why I'm asking for help shortly. Okay, so back to this stop stopping. And the way the class was positioned to me today was, you know, if you have something that you're committed to, what keeps you from being committed? So for example, here it is, the 9th of January. I'm totally committed to doing this podcast every single week, and yet it's the 9th of January. So I have already chosen something else instead of my commitment. And so here's a couple. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but these are some of the questions that just really got me thinking. They really got me irritated in a good way. They are really uncomfortable. So if you're looking for happy, good, feel good shit podcasts, this ain't it. Go find somebody else right now. But if you really want to chew on some meat and you want to grow, come play with me. Okay, so the first question that I was asked was, what is it that you want to have or create that you aren't fully committed to? And recently I have been talking and realizing and thinking, and not in a shameful way. I just noticed that as long as I've been in business, 15 years ago, I became a realtor. That was my first self-employment, but I thought about, you know, goals, and I've always set goals and I've always done really well, but very rarely, actually, I can never think of a goal that I actually hit. I would get so close, or I wouldn't even get close. I certainly have done well, so I don't want to take away credit from what has worked or been accomplished. But I noticed in the last week, I was like, wow, I've often set numerical goals, both financially, the number of members in my program, the, you know, whatever these numeric goals are. Goals to create something, and gee, I haven't done it. And it's not like I've been sitting around on my couch being a lazy ass, but I just noticed that. So this question was amazing. What is it that you want that you aren't fully committed to? And the idea behind this question was, if you have something that you think you're committed to and you haven't done it yet, you're not actually committed to it. You're choosing a different option. And I've said that to my clients before. It's like, well, they say, I want XYZ. And I'm like, well, no, you don't. Because if you really did, you would have it. And it's kind of a confronting thought. It's not kind of a confronting thought. It's a really confronting thought. Like, I want to shed 20 pounds. But you know what? I want to have my wine and my macaroni and cheese and sit around and watch Netflix more than I want to release that 20 pounds. I want 111 members in Soulful Success, and yet I also want to not do my podcast or not hop on live, or I want to cocoon a little bit more. Here's the other one. I want to grow. I want to expand. I want to have XYZ system in my business, but I don't want to ask for help or pay for help to do it. And so the second question is, then what are you weighing instead? Like, if you're not choosing your option A, what is the option B that you're choosing? Okay, for a lot of people, let's put this. Okay. So for a lot of people, their option B becomes more miserable than their option A. And so then they will choose their option A. And so I think about back when I was working for a company and I was coaching there, and I loved it for a long time. I loved it until I didn't anymore. And then there was the, you know, I started creating this goal, this option of committed to leaving and starting my own coaching company. But option B was, it was safer. Option B was, it was more secure, guaranteed income. But then all of a sudden, option B became emotionally unbearable for me, and it became worth the risk to leave. It became worth it for me to risk it. And so when option B, the safe option, became miserable, only then did I choose option A. And I'm a little embarrassed to admit, but I think it happens often, that often we don't choose the commitment to the option A unless the tide changes on the comfort level. So what I realize is that, fast forward to now, all these years later, if I have an option A of taking my business from more than a private practice, coaching practice, which has done really well over the last 12 years, to my next level. I hate that phrase, next level, too. It just fucking drives me nuts. But we all know the next place we want to grow. So if I really want to have XYZ number members or XYZ amount of income, I'm avoiding, right now, I'm avoiding choosing that because I think there will be pain involved. So it's actually more painful for me to pursue my goal than it is for me to stay where I am. And in coaching, there's this concept between we're either avoiding pain or pursuing pleasure. And I'm not allowing myself to pursue pleasure because I am so much more intimidated and stopped by the perceived pain of pushing forward. This is what is stopping me. So here's these two questions again. There's going to be some more questions. What is it that you want that you aren't fully committed to? Admitting that I'm really not fully committed to is also the first step. Like I say I'm committed. I say I'm committed to show up and do a podcast every week. I've had it on my calendar. I've had it time blocked, excuse me, but I haven't done it. So therefore I can say it all I want, but I'm not committed to it. Number two, what am I weighing instead? What is my option B? What is the option B that I'm giving myself? So I've been living in option B. Now, this one is where I really got mind fucked. Why is option B appealing? This one, okay, so this coach that I was working with, she was great at it. And she used the analogy of a mountaintop, which is just amazing because I just watched this movie on one of the streaming networks. I can't remember which one, but it was called The Climb. The Climb. And it's based on a true story. It's not totally true, but it's based on a true story of this guy that had no experience and he climbed Mount Everest. Never climbed a mountain before, and he climbed. And throughout this journey, there's four or five base camps. I can't remember if there's four or five base camps on the way up to Mount Everest, but they stop at the various base camps and get ready for the next section. And so what has happened if I use the analogy of a mountain and a mountaintop? In the mountaintop, I have never reached my own personal Mount Everest. Now, here's the thing. There's an episode in the movie, or not an episode, but there's a scene in the movie when this guy gets to a certain place on the mountain. And he's like, oh my God, this is it. And they're like, no, we're not even close. And I have reached a whole lot of, oh my God, this is it. And then spirit or my deepest desire says, yeah, we're not even close. You think this is amazing? You haven't even begun to blow your own mind. Watch this movie and watch it with the analogy of your life in it. It's so amazing. I'm not done talking about it yet. So, but it's interesting. They stop at these various base camps and there's a couple of different characters that, you know, stop, you know, they joke, oh, these guys drink too much. They'll never make it past the first base camp. Oh, this happens. They'll never make it past the second base camp. And I realized in this mountain analogy that I have been camping out at a base camp. So I went from, let's say, my fourth base camp to my fifth base camp. And the next thing is my mountaintop. So let's say I was at my fourth base camp, having cleared quite a few. I'm at my fourth base camp. And in 2013, I pushed through to my fifth base camp. It was a big fucking deal. I actually moved up in the world of high fee coaching. I did these retreats all around the world. I did these group programs where women paid $9,000 to $12,000 to work with me. I hardly spending any time spent time painting and coaching and going on retreats. And I made a whole lot of money. And I created and I connected and it was very easy and it was very fun. And yeah, along the way, I had some challenges and I built some new muscles and I had a handful of failures. And I got to this place, this fifth base camp, where I've just plateaued. I've just plateaued. And this is the thing about my base camp. And I told this coach today, I said, here's the deal. My base camp is like really yummy. My base camp doesn't feel bad. My base camp feels comfortable. My base camp feels doable. My base camp feels content. There's a deep sense of contentment. Like there's a deep sense of pride, of proud, of confidence. I was talking to my friend Kay, who I called to kind of debrief on some of this. And she was like, woman, every time you talk about your program, you are so happy. Like there's a lot of happiness, but there is this inkling little thing that is calling me to the mountaintop. And then this is what my brain does. My brain's like, the mountaintop is bullshit. You've been to the mountaintop before and it doesn't make you happy. Right? So like I turn around and I look at my option B of base camp and why is it so appealing? And it's like, oh, I've got a really nice warm tent and I've got this comfort and this comfort and this comfort and this system. And I don't have to hurt anymore at this base camp. There's a point in this movie where the guy that's climbing the mountain, he's got this, it's not one of the Sherpas, but it's the leader of the adventure. And the leader of the adventure the whole time is like rolling his eyes that this joke of a man even got through. And he just knows that this man is never going to make it to the top. Except for the man keeps making it. Part of a whole other side story here is this guy has like a naivete. And so he doesn't have the mind. He doesn't know how dangerous what he's doing is. He really has no clue. So he doesn't have the fear that some of these other people have. But even his leader, they get past the fifth base camp and they're going to the mountaintop. And even his leader has to quit. And his Sherpa at some point says, we can't keep going. And he's like, I've got 15 more yards. I'm not going to hit the top. We are going to the top. Something called him to the top of the mountain, even though all the other teams fell off, even though his expedition leader called off. There's like something inside of me. And it's not to prove to you anymore, or maybe it is. I don't fucking know. It's so irritating. This is something I laughed because I called Kay and was talking with her about it. And I was like, I just want to scream because I feel like I've been at this place a million times. I feel like I've been at the edge of my base camp looking up at the top of the mountain and going, okay, I can do this. And then going, why? Why do I want to work that hard? You're like, ugh. Okay, so let me go back to these questions. Thank you for bearing with my story. What is it that you want that you aren't fully committed to? What are you weighing instead? So for me, it's my base camp. My base camp is fucking amazing. Why would I want to leave base camp? I must be crazy. Why is option B so appealing? Now, here is the one that really makes me say OMFG. What emotion is option B helping me avoid? What emotion is my base camp helping me avoid? And this is where I start to get a little bit tender. This is where, and these haven't even all come up. So many of you who've been listening for a while know that the past couple of years, part of my growth and my journey has been not outsourcing the discomfort of the shadow aspects of life. So like I've totally recovered from my depression because now I just feel whatever I feel. I'm a whole lot better at allowing myself to feel discomfort until I realize I'm not better. There are certain areas that I am avoiding certain emotions. And so today, as I looked at that, like, what is it that not going to the mountaintop is helping me avoid? I made a list. I'm really embarrassed about my list, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and share it with you, but I'm embarrassed. But it is what it is. And that's the thing. If I don't look at it. So, you know, I was talking to this coach and I was like, oh, yeah, there's part of me can vision and I can believe into who it is. And she's like, yeah, visioning is great. But if you don't acknowledge these beliefs, and she didn't say shitty beliefs, but that's, you know, if I don't acknowledge these shitty beliefs. So here's the thing. I'm at base camp and I have this pack that I am carrying. And in this pack are things that I believe and things that I want to avoid that do not serve me. They make my pack too heavy to get to the top. So these are the things I wrote down. I'm sure this is not the end of the list. It's too hard. That's a huge one. It's too hard. I suck at hiring. It never increases my income, only my expenses. I don't have the capacity physically. Basecamp is pretty good. I'd have to have help. I suck at working with other people or collaborating, and I'd have to collaborate. It's all bullshit and none of it matters. Rich people and successful people are jerks. I didn't say all these are true. I just said this is the shit that I load down my pack with. I don't want to do it like everybody else. Like, I don't want to follow a system. I don't want to be like anybody else out there. So I have to create a completely new way. I want to be special. I want to be the rebel. Who am I fucking kidding? Who am I fucking kidding? It's that fraud notion. My coach, Rich, always talks about, like, high performers often feel like frauds. I'll have to invest too much financially. I'm tired of investing financially. Like, I have investment fatigue. I'm not good at hiring organizations, systems, running a company. I'm really good at having a private practice. But when it comes to managing people, that's not what I signed up to do. That's not my gift. I know nothing about advertising or Facebook ads or all these other things. Like, I start making this list and I've got to unload these beliefs. These are all my Basecamp beliefs. And I was able to get to Basecamp, which is awesome, with these beliefs. But if I want to get to the summit, the tools that I use to get to Basecamp won't get me to the summit. I'm going to have to allow help. I'm going to have to choose the discomfort of consistency. I'm going to have to manage my energy better. I'm going to have to release beliefs that it's hard and allow freedom and ease. I'm going to have to allow help. I'm going to have to ask. I'm going to have to allow myself to ask for help. And I'm not talking VA or admin help. I've had that. My brain explodes when I even think about the kind of help that I need. But even more than needing help, I'm going to have to do what I know will work. I don't have to take another damn class or another program. I sat today for 90 minutes. 90 minutes I sat and watched this woman's webinar that goes into her program. She's a million-dollar entrepreneur. I was totally jealous of what she had set up. I was looking at what I think may or may not be her mountaintop. I don't know. I don't know her from Adam. I don't know if she's anywhere talking about the behinds of her business unfiltered like I do. It's one of the reasons I share this shit with you guys, because I'm so sick of comparing myself to somebody who looks perfect on the outside and I don't know what their mental struggles were to get here. I know the mindset I'm supposed to have, but the discomfort of sitting up against those beliefs, I need that to be more normal. You know, we can all say, oh, the breakdown is the way to the breakthrough. I'm not having another breakdown. I'm having a GD breakthrough. But let me tell you, it doesn't feel good to have the breakthrough. It's sitting with this discomfort. So I sat there for 90 minutes. And the longer it went on, the longer I compared myself. And it had one of those features. I hate these features where you can't pause or skip. You have to, if you want to see the information, you have to watch it all in its entirety. It's probably a really smart system and it drives me freaking nuts. And it probably drives me nuts because I don't have it. And I'm sitting there afterwards and I called my friend Kay and I'm like, I'm bashing my head between the potential and the possibility of climbing my mountaintop and staying at my base camp, my option A and my option B. And thinking about what is it that keeps me re-choosing option B? What would I have to believe about myself to become the woman that climbs her own summit? What would I have to believe about myself? And not only what would I have to believe about myself, but what beliefs do I have to drop? What beliefs will I be willing to wake up and wrestle with and drop over and over again? And I don't want to just ignore those beliefs. That's that outsourcing. I want to be able to look the belief square in the face and say, I hear you, I see you, I won't leave you, but I'm not going to believe you. So you can either get on board or you can stay down here in base camp. There's a couple more questions in our series, and I don't want to get into that too much because that's their class. Just these first four are enough for today. At least to help me understand why I stopped stopping. It makes me laugh because part of it is like, oh, well, if I didn't have these spiritual beliefs, I'm wanting to blame. That's me wanting to blame my spiritual beliefs. If I wasn't all Buddha-like and loving what is, thank you, Byron Katie, then I wouldn't want more. And I have for a long time, and I remember having coaching sessions a couple of years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago with my coach going, I'm really stuck at this both and, this both of deep contentment and this wanting more. And I feel like I slam myself between these two walls, and it doesn't have to be that. Like, what if I could let it be more gentle? What if there could be times when I'm in deep contentment? And what if there were times when I honored my desire to have more, to do more, to create more? You know, I've created this slogan around this fucking podcast. More is not better. Better is better. But sometimes better means more. You want to know, this is not a big, deep, compelling why. It's a very surface why, and it matters to me. So in my new house that we moved into, we've downsized from this beautiful mansion on this acre lot with these gorgeous oak trees and a beautiful pool and beautiful gardens. And I had an art studio and I had a huge office and I had space and I could have retreat people come, and it was fucking beautiful. And we downsized to be closer to our kids and to our family and to spend less money to pay our future selves instead of putting all the money that we make into our home now. We cut our living expenses to live here in this house. And I love this house. Last night I walked out of my office and I walked into my living room and I told Bill, I said, I love our kitchen. It makes me feel so rich. This is the richest, most luxurious kitchen I've ever been in. But today, as I took my dogs out into the backyard, I just want to vomit at my backyard. Like, it is so unaesthetically pleasing. I really love having a yard and a garden and a place to piddle in. And all I have is this rectangle of boring grass. Granted, we have planted the two tiny trees, Popo and Lupe. It's the middle of winter, so everything is dead. But I want to create this garden. And frankly, I don't want to create one plant at a time over 7 years, which is what my husband keeps saying. I want to hire a landscaper to come in and make some fucking magic in my backyard. And you know what that requires? That requires extra over the top of the budget. That requires fun for me cash, baby. Am I unhappy if I don't have the backyard? No, I'm not unhappy. I can absolutely and do find contentment. Even in that backyard, I can find contentment. I'm so grateful for that backyard. And why am I choosing option B? The number one reason is because I'm avoiding discomfort. And so if I let myself feel the discomfort, and that's what I'm doing today. I'm kind of processing through. It's uncomfortable to feel the need for help for me. It's uncomfortable for me to be consistent with this podcast. It's uncomfortable for me to invite you to share with other people so that I can grow my audience if you think it's valuable. It's uncomfortable for me to invite people to come to my offerings and my events. on one hand, I know and I trust and I believe that they're valuable and they land with the perfect people at the perfect time. And on the other hand, it's uncomfortable to push myself in a loving and divine way to be even more excited, to be so excited I can't hold myself back from inviting you to either come to Camp Starheart in Austin or become a member of Soulful Success. It's uncomfortable for me to think about some of the systems and structures that I want to put in place that I have got to hire an expert to do it. And to hire that expert, I want to have enough of that fun for me money. Right? So like here I am at base camp. And what if you get to base camp 5 and to get to the summit, the next level, you have to use a different set of ropes. You have to use a different set of ropes. You have to use a different set of boots. You have to have a different physical stamina. I certainly have to have a different belief system. I might have to have different people in my life. I have to let go of some things I control. And I have to get a little bit of vision for who will I be if I allow myself to become the woman that summits this mountain, this particular mountain. Who do I think I'll be and who do I want to be? I say OMFG because for me, these thoughts have been all living quietly under the surface. And I can choose to stay at base camp, but you know I can't. You know I can't at this point now. Like yesterday, I could stay at base camp. Who am I if I stay at base camp? Well, I'm still lovable. I'm still divine. I'm still enough. I'm still worthy. But I haven't completed what I came here to do or be. And part of that is difficult because I don't even know the do or be. There's faith in the unknown part of the journey. So if I were to go back to 1997, when I went to graduate school to get a master's in educational psychology, at the time, I would have thought that my summit was being a private practice PhD counselor. And I ended up becoming a teacher. And as a teacher, I made like $36,000 a year as a kindergarten teacher and a technology coordinator. And I married a man, and I thought that my mountaintop would be having 3 or 4 or 5 kids and being a teacher. I had no idea that one of the base camps on this journey of my life would be going through a divorce and becoming self-employed. You know, at one point I was on one of these early base camps of my life going, oh my God, this is great. And I can look back now and hear, I couldn't hear her at the time, but if I look at my divine Sherpa that is with me and has been with me through all my journeys, I would hear my divine Sherpa back at that base camp number one go, oh darling, you have no clue. You think this view is glorious? You think this experience is glorious? It is amazing. And I have so much more for you. And then there was another base camp and another base camp and another base camp. And for all I know, this thing that I think is the summit is really just another base camp. I feel like this is the base camp that I've hung out at the longest. It's really close to the previous one. And yeah, I've taken some risks. I've made some changes. Yeah, I changed my whole way of doing business. decided to open up this membership program instead of charging all these high fees. I totally reworked the systems of my business. I became a beginner again in 2017 in a lot of ways. I'm only 45. I'll be 46 in a month. I may have a whole lot of base camps to go, but I know that I can't plateau out. I can't keep stopping at option B. That I'm going to unpack that bag of beliefs
and emotions that I'm avoiding. Perhaps there's positive emotions that I'm avoiding feeling. Perhaps I'm avoiding feeling the glory of ease and success. Perhaps I'm avoiding being rich and kind. I have this limiting belief that rich people can be assholes, that they generally are. That doesn't have to be true. Like, what if I set out to be one of the kindest, wealthy people in the world? What if I set out to be a leader that is authentic and kind and good? And what if it doesn't matter if somebody thinks I'm an asshole? My pack full of shitty beliefs that I'm going to unpack as I move forward is really, really big and deep. Probably some of the deepest misaligned beliefs. And when I say misaligned, I mean they're not aligned with who I really am. Your misaligned beliefs are not aligned with who you really are. Some of these I'm carrying around, I think they're ancestral. I watch my dad have them. I watch my family members have them. There's some deep epigenetic DNA patterning going on here. And now I am moving to the edge of Basecamp 5 and I am unpacking that. And I'm going to sit with the discomfort of it. I'm exploring it with my coaches and a couple of my colleagues.
I'm going to feel the pain of it. And it's funny because I find myself, after just sharing with you, I feel the angst and the frustration calming down. I begin to see those misaligned beliefs and they don't cause me to shake so much. My final question is, what do I have to believe? What are the thoughts that I have to gift myself to make my option B, my base camp, no longer an option? When I left the company, in my mind, there was no other option than to leave. What do I have to believe so that I don't stay in option B, Basecamp 5?
Those are my thoughts today. January 9th, 2018, episode number 27. Again, if you're still listening, and you want to finish up, I love your reviews on iTunes. They totally help me out. I love when you share the podcast with a friend. That totally helps me out. I especially would love if you would tag me and tag Better Life, Better Work Show in Instagram. That would be so awesome. I want to spread the juju of this podcast. And I want to do it right now without Facebook ads. Someday I'll reach out and ask for an expert Facebook ads person, because I've done everything through organic growth. And that's part of Basecamp 5 and part of the summit is hiring for a different level of growth. And right now at the edge of my Basecamp, I haven't even tried really to ask y'all to help me spread the word. So I appreciate that you listen. I love my friend Kay is so funny. I talk to Kay every single week and Kay's like, oh my God, I love your podcast. I listen to every episode twice. And so often I see her as a friend and a colleague and every once in a while, she reminds me that she is my greatest fan and that the only thing she doesn't like about my podcast is that it doesn't show up every single week, because every single week she wants more. And if you're like that, I love the feedback. I'll tell you what helps me keep going. Like, what helps fuel me
is verbal affirmation. That and you becoming my client. Those are my two favorite rewards. The affirmation, well done, Allison, keep going, and you becoming my client. So with that, I do want to let you know about Camp Starheart. I plan on bringing some of my Camp Starheart speakers on the podcast in the next couple of weeks. Right now, Camp Starheart, www.campstarheart.com. Right now, the early bird pricing is out. And right now, there's a payment plan. So this is a three-day live event in Austin, Texas. It is a personal professional development unconference. So it's not boring. We're going to have Koya and body movement and some creativity and some social time and some deep learning. I have a feeling we may dive even deeper into this topic. So go to the website, check it out. It's the most colorful, fun, amazing. There is an investment in it. This is not a $200 I'm going to upsell you into something program. This is a powerful, powerful weekend. Not only power and deep coaching and insight, but there is connection. There is tenderness. There is laughter. There's just so much. It's camp for adults. It is the deep experience of camp for adults. So check it out, Camp Starheart. I'd love to have you buy a ticket for Camp Starheart before the early bird goes away and before the payment plan goes away. There are only 16 tickets left. I sold out half the event last year, and I've already sold quite a few tickets. I just opened it up the day after Christmas, and there's only 16 tickets left. So grab your ticket now, grab a friend, and come. It's going to be amazing. I look forward to hanging out with you in person. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.